So I'm going to talk about it. Wasn't there a little Dr. Seuss or something that it was? It? Oh, that's a scary clown. See, that's funny how y'all just gravitated to the scary clown. I thought I was going to have a problem with information technologies. That's what IT is, right? It's like, I thought with all these engineers we have here, I'd be getting a little bit of, you know, IT going on. but what I first thought of was tag. You know how you run around and you, as soon as you get touched, your role changes to what? You're it, right? You're the one now. You're the one responsible. And that's a lot of fun until the one that's it says, I don't really care. Right? He just says, like, I'm not playing this game. And then being it really doesn't do any good at all. So, and then I thought about this with regard to the transformation that takes place in relationships, in a position. Well, let me hit position first because, you know, like on a team, we had this guy in high school. We won state my junior year in high school. And this guy named Mike Hendricks. He was the athlete of the year for Colorado that year from a 2A school. And so, and he's a wrestler. He's a jumper and all this kind of stuff. And because of Mike, we won state my junior year. Man, it was freezing cold when we won. It's like, but Mike was a senior when I was a junior. And when he went off to college, he went off to Colorado State University, played football there. But when he went to college, guess what? We were it. We could no longer look to him. It was on us. We had a winning season, but we did not win state that year. Because being it for us was not the same as Mike being it. In relationships, you know, it's easy. I remember when I was growing up, I had an opinion, and we do this. You know, we're used to how we were brought up, and I had an opinion of people that didn't discipline their children in public. I could take care of that like right now. Right? You know, they're dropping forks on the floor. They're clearing their table. It's like, until I became it. Right? It's like, now it's on me. Now I find out that these little creatures are all independent. You know, they all have their own approach and stuff. Is that right? The same thing in marriage. You know, it's easy to just have all kinds of opinions about whatever until you're it. You get this little thing on your finger, and all of a sudden, your role changes. You tag, you're it. Is that right? in a great plan, I was talking with Derek, and he's all about planning and business and everything, and it's like, you're really meandering until somebody takes the role and says, I'm it. I've got a solution. I have a plan. And it can be really scary if you don't have somebody that says, I'm it. Is that right? So, but the key to being successful is it is more than just ego. It's more, there's a lot of people, you know, that just, you can tell by the way they carry themselves. They think they're it. Right? Is that right? But it's more than just ego. It's actually when there's a cause taking place that you say, I'm the one that's available. Is that right? Then I'm going to be obedient to what needs to be done in that. I'm going to be faithful to it. That means you can trust in me. It might take a while. So I'm going to be there till it's done. Is that right? And then to be diligent. I'm going to be working hard at that. Amen? Yes? Okay. So, man, I was challenged in this just recently because I don't know what I was doing, but I thought it just came to me. We are it. Amen? I thought, are you sure, God? We're his plan. Is that right? There ain't no David, there's no Moses, there's no... It's a bunch of terrible talking Texans. It's supposed to be a part of this. So let's look at this. And this is what, this is why. It's because you would think that the God of creation could just, he said he's going to do things in the last days. And it's kind of like what we were praying about today. Because when God's going to move, and sometimes we can pray for a move of God. We can say, oh, if we just long for a move of God enough, maybe he'll move. And he will. But he needs somebody to move through. Is that right? Every time God has done something, every time it was it, oh, that was it, there was a man involved. Is that right? So a reason for creation. What does God's it look like? And I'm just going to go through some of these real quick, okay? Y'all good? So reason for creation, what was it for? It was for fellowship. What did it look like? It looked like a man, didn't it? Okay? Safety through the flood. This was the necessity, right? This was a God thing, wasn't it? Aren't you glad that God came up with a way for us to be alive today? Because a big flood came over this earth and killed everybody except for a man. Is that right? So, safety was the cause, but it was going to require an ark. And the ark wasn't going to happen without what? A man. For him, he had to develop a plan, is that right? So to where we could come back into fellowship with him. So he needed a people. Is that right? He didn't just start remanufacturing people. He needed a seed. Is that right? So what did it look like? It looked like Abraham. Looked like a man. Is that right? So escape to a promise. I like this instead of just escape from where he's escaping to. And what was this? This was the Exodus, right? And what did he need? He needed deliverance. And what did it look like? This is kind of cool. Looked like two different men in my example here anyway. Looked like Moses. And then when Moses, and here's part of the cool thing in this, is that it's not based upon your perfection, your qualifications. Is that right? Noah, remember Noah after the flood? All these guys messed up really bad. So it wasn't about them. It was about their availability. They're saying, I'm the one. I'm it. God, you need something? I'm it. Is that right? So for the escape to the promise, deliverance, it looked like Moses, first of all, the guy that said, I can't do it. And God said, no, you are it. I have a whole nation that I'm going to deliver. But I need somebody to be my it. Okay? Can you look at your neighbor and say, your name is now it. I bequeath upon thee the itness. You're it. We can play tag. Okay. And then Joshua, remember what happened with Joshua? Man, he was one of the faithful ones, one of the survivors through the wilderness, right? And when it came his turn, he was following Moses this whole time. Is that right? Do you know how much dependence he must have had upon that? And he was faithful to follow. He didn't complain. He didn't say, I've been doing this all this time. I should have the right to be acknowledged. What did he do? He followed Moses all the way up until Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. Is that right? And then all of a sudden, tag, you're it. Is that right? And what did he need? He needed an encouragement. What does God do? God says, when I say you're it, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you to be strong. Be courageous, for I'm with you. Amen? I ain't doing it without you, but you're going to need to step into your role. You're going to have to see yourself as something different. Amen? So, to reclaim hearts, I like this view of David. What was happening when David came along? They've been following this. God didn't even want to give him a king. Is that right? But they start following this king, and man, he's a lunatic, right? He's a demon-possessed lunatic. And what happened to the nation? Their hearts started waning also. They weren't believing in God anymore. God needed more than just a champion. He needed a turn back to him. Isn't it wonderful how precious David was in the middle of this? He was it. He goes to the battlefield. All these other itless people. He says, what's wrong with y'all? Can't you see what's going on here? He said, I declare, I'm it. And he takes the field. Was God going to defeat that giant? When had the preparation for that giant to been defeated taken place? Back when he came up with circumcision. Is that right? According to what he says. But you're an uncircumcised Philistine. What's David going by? He's going by what God had said already. That means it was the provision was there all along.
Yeah.
God was going to not just defeat a giant, but he was going to turn the hearts of the people back to him. Through what? This was a God movement, right? But what did it need? It needed a man. So what I think is really precious about David is he's not perfect either. He's just available. But here I am. Created me a clean heart after he messes up, right? And then what does he do continually? He says, I feast on your word. It's more valuable to me than anything else. Is that right? And what is he doing? He's writing the biggest book in the Bible. And you know, these people are the people of the book. This is a God thing that required a man that just made himself available. Amen? Obedient and faithful and diligent to write 150 chapters of let's turn our hearts back to God. Wow. Amen? Right. Redemption of mankind is going to need a sacrifice. What do we get? You would have thought the God of creation could come up with something else. No, when God does something, he uses a man. Amen? Jesus had to come to do a God thing. Amen? To build his temple. And I'm saying this because what are we as a church? We're his living stones. Amen? All of us. And how does he do it? It looked like men. Jesus was, he had 12 men, right? He didn't do it some other way. He used men. And with that, there is an exponentially growing disciples. It's no longer based upon one person. Amen? It's based upon, just like with David, there's a provision of anointing that whoever becomes it gets to be a part of what God's doing in a building of his temple. Amen? I was telling y'all about this. There's a very precious person that's gone before us, that's made the way for America that I didn't realize to this extent. And I don't know if y'all have seen this movie. It's The Great Awakening. George Whitefield. Anybody familiar with this guy? He's a... back in that day, they didn't have PA systems. And so this was right in during the middle of the Revolution. And... if y'all want to see this, I would recommend seeing this. It's a good movie. Ben Franklin, the relationship with Ben Franklin and George Whitefield. And George Franklin, or Ben Franklin, attributed the success of our Constitution's writing and ratification to the Great Awakening because it changed the hearts of the people in America. And I'm thinking, I believe America is a God thing. Amen? And when God, you know, we have some founders that put this together, but without turning the hearts of the people, because we are not just a government of representatives, are we? We're a government of the people. Is that right? So I believe God has established something here that has made way for the gospel to be preached around the world. Amen? in an incredible way. I think we have to turn our hearts back to God right now. And that's partly what I'm talking to today. Is I believe God needs some it's. Amen? But it's really precious because this man, he gave his life. He expended his life. He could have had some understanding with regard to things we were talking about today, maybe, with speaking to health issues and whatnot, because he was overcome at a young age. I think he was in his 50s when he passed away. But he was responsible for something that God established in this new world. You know, there's a lot of different opinions about, you know, try to degradate with something God has done here, I believe. Amen? But I believe America today is an extension of all these biblical examples of what God has done because somebody said, I'm it. And he stood up and he spoke and he said, I challenge you, come back to God, awake, arise. And man, people just came. And it transformed our country, enabled our country to be founded. They said they were up against, they couldn't agree on anything. They couldn't actually sign it together. But after Ben Franklin got up and renewed a recognition of this, that enabled us to be able to have our what we have today. Anyway, I thought that was a cool correlation there. I'm just going to go through some examples here. I love y'all. Okay. In God's saving touch is also a tagging to be it. In his breath of life is a call to be it. So a lot of times when we pray for somebody, how many have been touched by God in his presence? Here's what he's doing, and I just want to encourage us to see it this way. What he's doing, when we get touched by God, he's not just wanting us to be fixed in our seat. He's calling us to be it. What is he doing when he's healing us? He's freeing us from any inhibitions to be able to go. Amen? What's he doing when he's removing lack from our bank account? He's flooding the heavens are being poured out with provision for us. What's he doing? He said, you're it. Amen? So a God touch is a tag. Amen? A God word is a call to no longer let it be about you, but now you're it. God's wanting to do something that he needs a man to accomplish. Amen? Godless nations will be filled with glory. So this was prophesied long ago. Amen? Habakkuk 2:13. Has not the Lord decreed that godless nations' gains will turn to ashes in their hands? Man, we're seeing this fulfilled right now, aren't we? They work so hard, but all in vain. But the time will come when all the earth is filled, as the waters fill the sea, with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. Now, here's what's really cool. The Spirit's been poured out, but it's the awareness. There needs to be an awakening. Amen? Yeah. This is where we live today. This is what this is prophesying about today. Amen? And I just encourage every time there's something that God's doing, there's a man. Amen? That needs to be it. God's pouring out a spirit, but even in the New Testament, how did he do it? He didn't just pour it out on all those foreigners in the streets. He poured it out through the people. Amen? God's tagging foretold, okay? Joel 2:28. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants. And this is what's really cool. This is everybody, isn't it? Everybody that's been touched is tagged. Men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. This sounds like a God thing, doesn't it? The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. what's really cool that I see in this is sometimes we get so caught up in all these things happening in the heavens and everything else, and God says, but all that like might be some nice fireworks and whatnot, but here's what's really cool. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord is saved. Amen? That is the God work that he needs an it for. Amen? So, and then we go from that, we go to Acts, the fulfillment of this to some degree. But we're in the middle of it right now, aren't we? Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. What does that mean? When you're tagged by the Holy Spirit, how many have been filled with the Holy Spirit? How many pray in other tongues? Amen? What is the purpose of this? Because we're tagged. Amen? It's not just a gift for me to set on my shelf or to hold on to. Amen? It's a tagging gift. Because now you're receiving power to do what? Testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout the Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection. Who's doing this? God's doing it, isn't he? Amen? But how's he doing it? Through a bunch of its. Okay. We become carriers of glory for everyone. Colossians 1:27. Living within you is the Christ. Oh. How many have been born again? New creation in Christ. Amen? Now we can no longer point out what's wrong and say, I can't do it because of that. Man, it's Christ in you. Well, let me finish this. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with expectation of glory. I like this in the King James, I think it says it's the hope of glory. Amen? This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants, and here's the God part, right? The God mission. Is that you've been filled with this glory. The life of Christ is in you. And then he gives the purpose for it. I want everyone to know this. Amen? How precious it is that we get this. But God says, I've given this so you can give it too. Amen? And again, who's the best it players or tag players? The ones that care. Amen? That do something with their opportunity. And say, I'm going to chase too. Praise God. Man, I like that passage, don't you? Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:14. God is known because of us. Oh man, this is something that I've been praying to God about. It's, God, I want somebody to know you today because I do. Amen? My relationship with you isn't just about me and you. If I'm really having communion with you, somebody else is going to know it. Amen? God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. So what is he saying? My triumph is nothing without paraders, banners of this. Is that right? What is the triumph of Christ? Not that just he rose from the grave, but a whole bunch of its rose with him. Amen? Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Who goes? We go. Amen? And I just touched on this a little bit on Wednesday. And because Derek was brave enough to post this on, I will say this over the, whatever that internet is, right now. Our president has gotten a lot of flack for reaching down and touching a man on a bed and it looking like he was Jesus. And a lot of flack. And I'm thinking, that's what we're supposed to look like. Is that right? Jesus said, I got to go away so you can be tagged to be it. Who's supposed to touch him? And if it's me touching him, I'm not really living in Christ anyway. But if he's living in me, if I'm touching somebody, Jesus is touching them. Now, I don't know where our presence head is and all that, but I'm thinking we need to be able to have an understanding of what's really, and it's amazing how many people of the caller or whatever else, it's like, can we get off of just lambasting somebody for being what we all should be? Are y'all with me? Yeah. And I was so grateful when I heard Derek, because I hadn't heard anybody comment on this way. And I'm thinking, well, he's not Jesus, but if he believes in Jesus, he better be glowing like he's Jesus. He better be carrying. That's what these verses just said, didn't they? So we carried the glory of God. So now it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And if I really believe that, when I go to pray for somebody, it better not be me. If I'm the president, if I'm the pope, that better not be me. It better be Christ. Amen? And I like this because it says, and it will be obvious. This grace will be obvious. You'll be able to see it. What are we? We're its, aren't we? We are God's shining, okay? We're known, they're known, they know God because of us. And we shine him, right? Matthew 5:14. You are the light. God, just come pour your light upon everybody. If you would just show your light, it would be obvious and the darkness would be dispelled. And he said, you are it. Is that right? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, what are you supposed to do? Don't hide your light. But be it. Go out and shine your light. Is that right? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. What is the plan of that? Is that a man plan? That's a God plan, isn't it? For everybody to have some light. Let your light so shine before men that what happens? They see that who you are is not just you. You're doing things that nobody can do without the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And because of that, they're going to say, huh, I know Barney Fife couldn't have done that. That had to be God. Amen? But God's not going to get any glory where there's no shining, where there's nobody saying, I'm it. Amen? We are God's laborers. Matthew 9:37. He turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters. Why didn't God just go out and harvest everything? Because they need some its. Amen? And that's what he's calling us to do. Aren't you glad for the promise that in the last days there's going to be a great harvest, a great turning of hearts to people? How's that going to be? Men. Praise God. We are his voice, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One. Doesn't some of this ambassador stuff just about get under your skin, though, sometimes? Like, enough talk. Let's just lob some stuff, you know? But what I think is so powerful about the ambassadors that we are is that in our words is our weapons. Amen? We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God, and this, isn't this cool? I like this. As though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. How is God going to speak to the world? He's not going to write Michelob on the wall. I'm sorry, that's an inside joke. I won't tell you the whole thing. It was supposed to be Ichabod. Okay, I'll tell you, some of you have heard this before. But somebody was trying to prophesy and referred to in the Old Testament where, remember, the hand appeared and wrote, Ichabod, my presence has departed from this place on the wall. And And there was just a woman in the audience that stood up, and she was trying to prophesy, and she said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have written Michelob on the wall." Then she realized her mistake, and she said, "Thus saith the Lord, I made a mistake." It was supposed to be Ichabod. That's a problem when you try to mix up, you know, your own stuff. I don't know how I got off onto that, but we're supposed to be his voice. How are they going to hear? Again, oh, that's how I did it. He's not going to write on the wall. It's not going to be an audible voice necessarily. Isn't that wonderful? We're not supposed to be jealous, but wouldn't it be nice to, you know, actually hear one of those audible voices? Yes, but you know what? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're saying, "I'm it," now our voice is no longer just ours. That's good. It's a move of God.
That's right.
When we open our mouth, God's moving.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. That sounds like George Whitfield, right? Be awakened, all right? Okay. Urgency. And so I just want to, are y'all good with this today? Man, I'm speaking to the choir, man. We love God with all of our hearts, amen? But man, we always have to be encouraged in this. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, a football team, what do? They don't just assume that somebody is even these superstar guys, they don't just assume that they're going to be okay today. They encourage, amen? They keep reminding who you are. Man, you're great. You're a goat. Buddy, you're a goat, man. Greatest of all time. Who is that? That's Christ in you, right? It's like you can say that. Confidence, right? But there's an urgency in the opportunity. Any game of tag, if you don't respond right away, the game dies. Is that right? Like, I guess we're done. I think God's always, he's always moving upon us, but he's saying, man, in your response is the game. As soon as you respond, it is happening.
Yeah.
Amen? And how much the it's of God, the moves of God have lain dormant because nobody stands up and takes their touch and turns it into a response.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Man, if we've been touched by God, we've been called.
Yeah.
We've been tagged.
Yeah.
If God's going to do something in these days, we are it. Look around at each other. These are the all-stars. Amen?
Amen?
God's doing stuff in us. And because I'm faithful, it does not matter my qualifications at all, other than my availability, my obedience, and my faithfulness. Is that right? All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us. What are those? What God's called us to. Amen? By the one who sent me. Who's talking here? Jesus. I like this because some of the translation says, I must complete the work I've been given. But I like this because it says, we. Jesus came to be a we. Amen? His purpose in being it was so that we could do stuff. Is that right? All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, for there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I'm still here in the world, I give it my light. Amen? How many are in the world still? You know, when you have some loved ones pass away, you realize the brevity of this life. Amen. We don't succumb to it. We're not afraid of it. But we realize that tick tock, tick tock. Amen. And there's an opportunity for each one of us to be a part of a God movement that requires our response. Amen. Now we can get into the depths of this, but there's a reason for my victory in Christ, my revelation of it, my walking in it. Amen? Because I can't be his it if I'm compromised. I'm going to have to live before him holy. Is that right? I can't walk before him. I can't be a part of his movement of love that completely demolishes barriers and separations if I am in strife with my brothers and my sisters. Is that right? And he says, you know what? You begin to live and move and have your being in me. That's going to look like holiness, righteousness. It's going to look like provision. It's going to look like abundance. Amen? It's going to look like healing. You're going to, and no condemnation to anybody, you know, wherever we're at. But he's come to be this for us. Amen? With what purpose? That when we respond to the promises in his word, and make them our reality, we're his it. Now he can do something with us. Amen? The eyes of the Lord, they're searching all over the whole earth for what? Not perfect specimens. Not people that are smarter and cuter. Not people that think they're it. Amen? But know what he said about them. And they say, because you said it, I'm it. Amen? If God said something about us, oh, it's so important, so liberating, so empowering. God's going to do a mighty work on this earth, and we're the ones that are going to, he's going to do it through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just have some challenges here. If you're in the app or on the screen here, I think I have them too. But what is God's heart for the family, community, and church body that I touch? And this is something that I think we can pray for. Sometimes we say we can have something that we want. And this is where the Holy Spirit can really help us. When we go into prayer, God, what is your plan for my church body? We've talked about some stuff this morning that I think God, it's a plan for this church. Amen? It'll be some practical things. It's going to require us walking in, you know, in the victory that's ours. But it's going to be some practical things that we ask of the Lord. What is your heart for this church body? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What is your heart for this nation that we're living in? Yeah. How can we touch them? Is that right? Yeah. Because if God's wanting to do something, I can be a part of it. Amen? Yeah. As soon as I find out what God's wanting to do, now I can say, I'm it. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do whatever you give me to do in obedience. And we're going to play this game. Amen? God, you didn't tag me for nothing. Amen? So, how will his heart be fulfilled? He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And then he has a reward. Remember, Jesus, this is why Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the one going to the cross. Why? For a joy that was set before him. Because he was doing it for a purpose. Is that right? Aren't you glad Jesus was it? Amen? He said, I'm it. And he didn't even want to. Is that right? It's like, is there any other way? Any other it's around you can draw on? Says, no? Okay, it's me. Praise God. And sometimes the adversity can be very devastating. It can look awesome. But right in the middle of it, if we're doing a God, it is going to be a joy. It's a reward. Amen? And our heart needs to be fulfilled in what will fulfill God's heart. Praise God. Have I become it? These are just some things for us to ask. And let's make this part of our prayer life. Amen? Let's talk to God about this. Because I don't ever want to assume that I'm at the pinnacle of where God wants me to be. Amen? I want to be completely, continually being transformed from glory to glory, and God showing me. God's needing something done. I don't want it to not get done because I didn't show up. Have I become it, the one who is responding to his touch and call to be his touch and breath? Amen. So I'm going to respond to his touch and his call on my life to become his touch and his call, his breath. Amen.